Would you mind another version of the story? Our position from the business manager side to mention everybody who was in the table. And I just want us to touch right away. We are all aware that as individuals we are only at that stage of time. So we consider only having one item that is the briefing by the Department of Education training on the 2011-12 annual report. But before that, I would like us to take the apology.
Mr. Faba, I apologize from the committee. Ms. Khatmeni, Ms. Moshodi, Mr. Zulu, Honorable Boroto will join us later. Mr. Blatt, apologize. We also received a written apology from the minister. The letter is here from the minister.
Honorable members, maybe before I get to this, I just want to speak to the issue of the apology. As you are aware, and I know that this term of attendance is having a body item from the time of the committee, actually, I have to send out the minister's attendance here, but I just want to indicate that we initially thought that we should postpone this meeting because the meeting has been part of that. But because we are dealing towards the end of the financial year, I felt that normally we should proceed because the other people also have been part of this. But I must say that the minister, the deputy minister, wanted to be part of the meeting. It is why they were proposing that we should postpone it. But taking into consideration that this is an annual report and we are towards the end of the financial year, there's no way that we could just postpone this meeting. I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the board. I also say that the minister of the deputy minister is back behind this committee. And maybe I should indicate that we had an opportunity to engage the minister of the deputy minister and myself for the week of the committee. There's a meeting. I think not just that maybe we undermine the committee, that is why we wanted us to control it. There's no way that we can control the committee if our state should be protected. On that note, Honorable Members, I don't really see that there's a need to introduce our superior head. We are still the same. On that note, let me just first give you to introduce your delegation.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair. I think perhaps it would be quite important if every one of us introduces him or herself. I'll start. My name is Wes Konde from the Department of Higher Education and Training. We'll proceed from my left. We got the full contingent of the Department of Higher Education and Training, as you can see, Chairperson. Because we didn't want to make any mistake in regard to accountability and the importance of this meeting. Learning from past experience.
Good morning, ma'am, and honorable members. I'm Matthew Mabzela. I'm the chief director in the University Education Branch, and I'm responsible for policy, and I'm standing in for my CDG, my board, Dr. Guy Kano, who will come today. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson members. My name is Feroz Patel, and I'm from the branch Human Resource Development Planning and Monitoring.
Honorable members, my
morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Ben Kiba.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Clive Kishina. I'm the Deputy Director General. Thank you.
Morning, board members. My name is Mbuyisi Matikama, Chief Director of the National Schools Bank.
Good morning, Chairman members. My name is John Slater from the UCDC branch, responsible for institutional planning and support for this department.
Good morning,
good morning, everyone. My name is
good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Sipo Tomo, President of this from IT.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael Delis. I'm from the Waking Cape.
My name is
Let me just take this opportunity to welcome the Deputy Minister to our meeting. And also I must indicate that, you know, when one looks at the level of the delegation that is here today, it sends a clear message that this department doesn't undermine any people. The message was very clear. Deputy Minister, you're welcome to this meeting. Let's just go check and allow the department to give us a briefing on their annual report in 2011-12.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. As you have indicated, this report covers 2011-2012 financial year.
Well, thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the members and the officials from the department. And indeed, Chair, the message was very clear last year. And that is why we are here. I am here at UG, leading the delegation from the department. But as you know, it will be the DG that will take us through our report. Of course, the tradition is not official present. So with your permission, I would like to hand over to the Director General. Thank you very much. I am happy that the committee is taking this time to look at that. We are here and we did hit the call from the committee to take the committee very well.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The report basically includes four critical areas: the general information on predetermined objectives for financial year 2011-2012, annual financial statements, as well as human resources management. Just a brief background. It's quite important to share that the National Skills Fund performance information and annual financial statements are incorporated into the department because it's still not an entity on its own, specific directorate within the Department of Higher Education and Training. Now there's been development later on, but we're not going to engage on that one. As well, that the Department of Education, the former Department of Education, is still listed as Schedule 1, which means it's a department which is operational and efficient. But all operational issues that require our attention as the Department of Higher Education and Training and Basic Education have been attended to in collaboration with the Treasury. And all outstanding matters have been attended and cleared, all of them. It's only now the processes of the PPFA to work out the issuing of the proclamation. Well, on that one, we can't say anything. It's their processes. But every other thing else has been attended to, and all liabilities as well as assets have been cleared from the standpoint of the basic as well as higher education, treasury, and the Auditor General office. The predetermined objectives are covering the key achievements, which by now are quite substantial as they were in the financial year under review. The status of the targets as well as challenges experienced, measures put in place to deal with all outstanding matters and sticky issues in the process of realization of the predetermined objectives, as was stipulated and presented to Parliament in our strategic plan and annual performance report. Now, the program that will be dealt with is Program 1, which is administration. And I will ask DT Team 4 to take us through quite quickly.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DT. The purpose of Program 1 is to conduct the overall management of the department and to provide centralized support services. In the years that we are talking on, these were the following achievements against the targets that were set. Our focus in last year, honorable members, was to build all the work that commenced during the 2010-11 financial year and to put the necessary administrative systems, policies and procedures into place, as well as provide the core capacity for a smooth running of the department. Professor members will remember that 2010-11 was effectively the first year of the existence of the department in an administrative sense. So we are continuing the work that we started in 2010. Out of the 1,037 codes that were in the establishment of the department, we identified 187 posts to be filled in that year, which was 2011-2012. And in that year, we managed to fill 133 posts, and 54 were in the process of being filled by the end of the financial year. And so far, Honourable Chair, I do want to report that we have just managed to fill all those posts. At the time when we reported, we are at 21.7% vacancy rate, and currently, as we speak, we are standing at 15% vacancy rate. In respect to the staff turnover, we reduced it in that particular year from 10% to 7.6%, which is a sign of stability, increasing the stability in the department. A number of policies were developed and approved, which were in the areas of ICT, human resource, and supply chain management. And we had that total of 27 policies that were approved by the end of the financial year. I do want to report that we have since actually added 8 new policies above those 27 policies that were approved. So that gives us a total of 25 policies as we speak. The call center has continued to provide a meaningful service to citizens by responding by the end of the year to 95% of the queries that were received from the presidential hotline. Currently, we have testing at 99% in response rate to selected this type of land use. The macro-organizational structure was approved and consulted with the Minister of Conservation and Green by the end of the third financial year. And currently, we have actually also moved to the micro-organizational structure of the department, and we are in the process of submitting to the MCFA for financial services. We had an HR plan and an employment equity plan approved for that particular year. And as you know, that yearly we have to update this plan that has actually happened. We identified 27 posts for regional offices that were created by the minister, and we started the process of filling in four provinces as in HFA. Second, I do want to indicate that most of those 27 posts have since now been filled. And the department in the new financial year will move to the remaining currency. In that year, we had 13 in total of the disciplinary cases, and 6 by the end of the year were processed, or we had done the process in respect to 7, and were dismissed 3 officials related to mismanagement of funds. I want to move to the challenges that were experienced in that financial year in respect to ICT. We did have challenges, honorable members, with respect to the stability of the land and the depth of support. We couldn't get the support we needed. And we have since decided to move towards the appointing an independent provider to provide that support to the department, because we're relying on CSAT providers service. The training level of the security staff also needed to be improved, and processes were installed at the end of that financial year to identify security staff that needed to be changed. There was also a challenge of lack of foreign call center technology and inadequate facilities for the call center operators, and the department has since moved to one advertising a tender for the development of a new call center for its department. The development of new offices did not materialize in that financial year, and the department has taken a decision to move towards the building avenue for the department. The land has since been identified, I'll put that way, I'm saying identified, not earmarked at this stage, by the Department of Public Works for the construction of offices for the department. We did not have a risk management unit in that year. However, we have now still requested that the post should be created so that we set up the risk management unit. We've been relying on consultants to do risk management for the department. And as from this financial year that we started, we will have a fully functional unit to do risk management for the department. On mitigation, I've already, I think, kept that longer. I want to keep myself, because as I was producing, I was saying how are we mitigating them.
Thank you, Chairperson. On Program 2, Human Resource Development Planning, Monitoring and Coordination, there were no major challenges as all programs operated. There were no major challenges, except that we all programs operated on a reduced and concentrated budget. Of the predetermined objectives, there were 53. 43 targets were fully achieved as at the 31st of March 2012. 9 targets were partially achieved and 1 target not achieved. In October, when we prepared the presentation for the portfolio committee and the select committee, 2 of those targets had been achieved by then. So we only had 8 that were partially achieved, and they were to have been concluded, will be concluded by the end of this financial year. Now, those targets that were not achieved were mostly dealing with policy issues, draft policies, draft frameworks, etc. And the consultation process has taken longer than anticipated. Interpersonally, in regards to the consultation process, you can predict the time that it can be over, but when they are challenges in regards to the content and to take into account inputs that does shift those particular dates. The level of approval would be at the level of minister, because these were internal policies. And part of the problem was that the director, particularly in the area of social inclusion and equity, was only assumed during the 1st of September 2011, and was getting into the processes. Up to date now, that we are on 6th of March, of the 53 targets, 50 has now been achieved, and 3 are still in process towards the end of the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Riji. I'm going to be taking you through the program 3, the refugee education. Mentioned the department whose purpose is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory framework for an effective and efficient university education system, and to provide financial support to universities, the national students, financial aid team, and the National Institute for Higher Education in Northern Cape and in Mpumalanga. And those are the sub-programs within the branch. And our key achievements at the time where the enrollment increased from 892 at those are all the universities, 23 universities plus those two institutes, 892,936 in 2010, and it had increased to 938,201 in 2011. The graduates increased from 153,325 in 2010 to 150,626 in 2011. And also in terms of the finding of the students we support financially through the NSFAS, those numbers have increased from 148,000 to 216,000 in 2011. And if you can compare that with the amount that was put into NSFAS, and you can see why that increase that was achieved. The ministerial statement on enrollment planning in the universities for 2011-2012 to 2013-2014 was approved and communicated to all the universities. And of course, those are approved project plan, project management team, and project steering committee to oversee the establishment of the new universities. And then This comes to the programs, the final draft of the policy framework for the provision of distance higher education in South Africa was admitted to the Minister for approval to publish in Government Gazette for public comment. And also the review of the funding framework almost complete at the time, and the report was to be finalized and presented to the Minister by November 2012. And indeed, those 2 points taken place. And the project plan for the establishment of the National Central Application Services was developed, and work had started. We used it partially at the beginning of this year with the intake of 2013 students at the universities. And the project plan for the establishment of a National Central Application Service was developed, and work also had started. In the report of the Ministerial Committee for the review of the provision of student housing at South African universities was launched. And workshop followed the towers, and work also has added in that regard. Then the implementation of phase 3 of the Higher Education Asia and AIDS program was successfully implemented. In fact, it's a phase, so it's still continuing currently. We are also working under the leadership of the Deputy Minister in that regard. The National Transformation Seminar was held in 2010, and then there has been progress since then with the establishment of the Oversight Committee for the Higher Education. And then the launch of the Ministerial Panel on African Languages, which is still underway. And then integrated strategic planning framework for teacher education and development in South Africa was published and launched.
And the minimum requirements for teacher education qualifications were published also in the Government Gazette, a policy, and the implementation is underway. The draft minimum requirements for FET college lecturers qualifications was completed at the time it was ready for publication for public comment. And then, also with regards to teacher education, the foundation phase teacher education was strengthened. 14 universities were offering foundation phase teacher education programs, with 6 preparing to offer these programs by 2014, and that number has gone down. I think we only have been remaining with 2. 24 new childhood education academies employed at universities, and 15 research and development projects involving 20 universities were supported by the department. The publication of 33 journal articles from that project on foundation phase teacher education. And the scholarship supported support for 4 honors students, 34 master's students, and 39 PhD students. And South African Journal for Childhood Education was launched. At the time, it had 2 editions. It has since got more than that now. The South African Association for Research in Early Childhood Education was also established. In terms of the challenges, these mainly relate to governance at the institutions. And at that time, we had 3 universities that were placed under administration, and 2 others were having independent assessments done on them. One has since had an administrator as well. And then, still on challenges, 29 targets were fully achieved, 26 targets partially achieved, and 10 targets were not achieved at that point. And that would be part of the mitigating factor that last bullet there on that. But staff shortage remained the biggest internal challenge. And the other mitigating factors were that at the time, 11 of these targets, this now was October 2012, 11 of the these targets had been achieved, 19 were partially achieved, and 6 not achieved. And the increased capacity in the branch and four director posts were advertised at the time, 2 have since been filled and 2 still remaining. And then improved communication and relations with universities, which depending on which way you look at it, one would say those are good, they have been improved. And then improved monitoring and evaluation measures, including implementation of new reporting regulations and criteria for EMR grants, have been introduced with institutions. And then the strengthening of relations with the CAC and SAFA with respect to their responsibilities as described in the NQF Act to ensure better alignment with the DHP objectives. That is work in progress, but progress has since been done since then. And then improve performance management in certain sections of the branch. And that would be all with the university education branch. Thank you.
Mabu.
Evaluate, monitor, and maintain the health policy program and system for the counselor between education materials in the main equity colleges and adult education, specifically adult education. We have 3 sub-programs, namely the primary institute health support, programs of qualification, national examinations, and assessment. Now, in terms of the key achievements, and the first one that I want to talk about relates to the intention of the department to expand and transform the hospital continuing education training sector. The enrollment numbers increased in the education sector from 345,066 in 2010 to 396,897. And for the interest of the members, I can indicate that in 2012, the enrollment was 6.7. Now, we also increased access, financial access, you know, into equity colleges. Student funded school has just increased from 64,557 in 2010 to 165,228 in 2011. The Community Education and Training Centers and the Foundation of Community Equity Colleges, if you already by then as regular instructions for the UDP that are supposed to be commenced. The record is not sufficient for others, but public also for public comment. In terms of the diversification of program offerings, an additional method of specific educational program, mainly transport and logistics, including the material consumer, established within the entry qualification that level of 4 to 2 to 4, the curriculum for an additional program, namely primary health, was completed in partnership with Health and Welfare Teacher and Department of Health for implementation in 2013. Internal continuous assessment, I test, in short, a guideline was developed to certain the NCD delivery, and for that we train 826 lecturers between good teaching and learning. Now, we talked earlier about the number of students transitioning from ELSA, but can you talk about the actual investment? But we spent 1.2 billion, 2.7 billion, in budget allocated to NCD colleges. The Policy Council for Trade and Education, CPO and the CCPO, approved the role of quality assurance for N4 to N6, including the recent diploma to the top 191. We implemented training on the quantitative study and scientific assessment for SPD level 4 and Arab educational training, global educational training certificates. 9 donations practically implemented in the year in question, 7 for three colleges and 2 for other professional training. And within the examination sector, which are the assistants, we registered 8,691 candidates for national examination, and monitoring and registration of 302 public and private examinations that sectors were undertaken. Setting and moderation of 1,470 certain papers and 5 site-based management tasks, was completed. The printing, packaging, and distribution certain papers was also done successfully. The market, we undertook a maximum of 2.5 million scripts for every college, relative college session. And we kept it with 5.8 million marks for the college candidates, monitoring of examination centers during the conduct of the examination and marking session throughout the year of education, and the demonstration of all examination marks was also done successfully, resulting in partial certification of certificates for the college sector was completed, and then enrollment rose at 4% from 2011. We can also report to the country that the success rate based on November 2011 results showed an improvement in success rate from an average of 24% in 2010 to 40% in 2012 across all levels. In regulation of private education colleges, the following were achieved. 501 private colleges were registered by the department, 123 of which were registered at the examination center. Compliance and performance report on 754 provisionally registered colleges drafted, and we identified 28 illegally operating such colleges, and the managers were arrested. Now, we described the successes and the achievements that we mentioned earlier. We've got challenges that we are dealing with, but which we think is proper to bring the attention of the community. We remain way short of capacity in the areas of on-site security, server location, and budget, within our examination section. We also want to ensure that the research is fully achieved, 15 targets partially achieved, and 15 targets not achieved the last time, but the situation is still improved and beyond the costing time. In terms of the function, our program, we experienced significant delays in supporting the mental health and technical assistance we need to provide as a key things and spoke in supporting the move of the provincial district advancement by the Secretary of the Department. However, we have made some progress in that for now. We also have a challenge, although we are trying to keep an eye on the target, you know, ethical colleges, but we continue to experience illegal and other research in operations of some kind of institutions. Lack of readiness across the AS, because the state maintains system to keep the funding known for public other ministers is another challenge. We experience a lot of problems, particularly in our examination section in terms of the relationship we have, the partnership we have with the state technology and technology agencies, and that is much true as a period in the pursuing of the situation as well. We, having identified the challenges, we put them in a few measures in place, and I will share those with the members of the committee. To date, 11 of these targets have been achieved, 9 partially achieved, and 8 not achieved. We have developed a general strategy for LGBT colleges and for other educators. In terms of improving the financial capacity of LGBT colleges, we are interested in a partnership with South African Institute for Chartered Accountants, through this partnership, 43 financial offices have been placed in our policy so far, and then we also place institutional resource money to support the funding in the college. Now, we're trying to deal with the challenges arising from our examination session. We partnered with the ISA and Comtech team, which undertook an audit of the FC level examination processes to facilitate review and advice on the national examination structure.
What is being asked to the end of the process? This is open. We have a program for the fund, skills development. The people at the time, the financial aid was done to understand and monitor the national skills development strategy. We have different sub-programs. The first one is teacher donation, so this is teacher monitoring information. And the next one, national skills development, that consists of your national skills authority and also the national skills fund. Then for quality development and promotion, that includes among others the trade testing center in Ghana. The key achievement, Chairperson, this is the partial consideration of the National Arts Demonstration Board, a board established in terms of the skills development education 2618, which has the responsibility of managing artisan development in the country, and but also in that very first financial year, we had 13,108 artisan learners completed training, became content. We also completed successfully in 2011 financial year the skills conference on the deepening of the understanding of the LSTS. We managed and developed on the marketplace of the department without any hiccups. Sketch skills information aggregated from teacher information. As per the sector discipline was also aggregated. The occupation, the organizing framework for occupation codes, the OFO, was also updated. We finalized the new talent moving from your NFDS 2 kilos to the new now, NFDS 3. Because we found out that that case, which we published in Batman Gazette. And we ensure that the new landscape, the system of the new landscape, which we only left with 3, they will now reduce to 1 the new landscape. We are well supported in the development and alignment of the sector system. To the SSP framework and the fellowship that is in the Dutch development department. The challenge is, the only government owned trade testing center, which is situated at Polyfast Contingency in Dutch, the challenge is that because the personnel that are supposed to provide those assessments, there's competition between ourselves as government and other staff for their skills. And therefore, we are inclined to lose most of them. that you see now, some of the things that are supposed to be doing that on for the aircraft or collaboration with other sectors, we don't have personnel investment. Instrumentation, we don't have to spend it on. So those are the kind of things we have, lots of competition in ourselves and the private sector. Of our target, we have 42. I mean, 42 targets are still achieved, 14 targets partially achieved, but 13 targets not achieved. We have not been able at the time to see to it that the land is fully operationalized. But also the challenge of regular IT breakdown at the center in Ulfans for the Indiana, we also face that. We speak now, the cables have occurred again. So there's no network for any communication between ourselves and India. We don't see any connection. We hope it's still helping the people. We don't see any connection for the people online. We have that challenge. But also, from the side of the National Security Authority, they came to provide the better advice on the other components with regards to implementation of the NSSP. Mitigation, to date, and I thus the target even more now, but even at the time, 12 of those targets have been achieved, 8 have been achieved, and 7 not achieved, in other words, from the original 4 performance against the target. So there's that improvement. But with regard to the challenge of capacity that trade testing, that I spoke about 8 and 7, there's ongoing advertising and testing, and there's a process to start re-engineering of India also to include RPL. That's one area that we're not working on the government. That's why for RPL for activity. In other words, those candidates or learners that they have worked in an environment of activity and acquired skills for a number of years. But they're not a secure position because they have the formal qualification. They have the experience, but they don't have the formal qualification. And therefore, for putting to place an actual order that is begin to accomplish and attend those ultimate needs. That's what we're referring to share with you. There's a question also of the local funding. The NAM launched in 2010 by minister, not have any money fully operational. Our Brooklyn Treasury accepted the need for the transfer of the NAM, but indicated that they are not allocating any new money for each organization. We must find the time and so within the department. So as a result then, we have to couple with NSF to access. For us to be able to do the next point, which is the equipment of senior directors and existing teams, that will then inject a new vibe in the society of the life. With regard to the challenge around IT at the very same center in Ghana, our IT within the department is just to purchase a wireless micro link to avoid reliance in this case in a process with inside and business so that the people can emulate this disruption. And yes, that's our relationship is in progress from all the stakeholders. In January 2011, the minister also launched the National Speed Development Strategy. The NSF reviewed its funding program to align it with the new NSDS. Remember, we discussed the NSF funding. We always spoke about funding new. In respect of the old NSDS. Now we are informed in terms of the framework that we need to find. 14 targets are fully achieved, and 7 special achieved, 5 targets are something we achieved, while the remaining 3 is the process of the computer. In 2011, 2012 financial year, the NSF paid out in contribution the highest amount ever in the year. Now you will know, that in the previous for many years since the establishment of the NSF. NSF every financial year follows the capacity that is carried from the previous year. It was part of it fully inside. It doesn't look intervention, it's a work intervention. I think the success for that initiative is that now for the first time the NSF was able to spend its highest amount ever in the position, which was just 10%. I'm not going to talk about now. Now they've actually been able to utilize efforts that they have. The grant project from the NSF funding, the funding in relation to ITF, NGP, rural development, stability, health, and education. Check it in, I think.
terms of the finances, the first slide, the preceding slide number 39, you'll see that for the specific financial year, we had 38.4 billion rand available, which includes the direct charges, which is the levy funding for the theater, that was 2.1 billion. In terms of expenditure, total expenditure for the financial year, including the direct charges, were 38.3 billion rand, leaving us with a balance of very small amounts, approximately 88 million rand only. Now, if one look at the information on that slide, you will see that program 3 and program 4 are those two programs with the majority of funding fees. Specifically program 3 for the university subsidies, which amounted to approximately 19.4 billion rand for that financial year. And the biggest additional portion under program 3, an amount of 4 billion, which is specifically for the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. That includes the bursaries for universities as well as FET colleges. But the National Student Financial Aid Scheme has individuals included in total under Program 3, although the bursaries for FET colleges are there as well. And then Program 4, the other big program, the 4.5 billion, of which 4.4 billion currently for that financial year is the conditional grant for the FET college sector, which is still managed at provincial level. In total also, if you look at the spending, you will see that under program 1, there is a small saving of 3.4 million rand, or an expenditure of 3.4 million rand. That was mainly outstanding posts that still had to be filled, and some concomitant expenditure in relation to furniture and equipment. Under program 4, you would note that there is a 4.6 million other expenditure, and that is mainly for claims received by examiners and moderators. That amount was held over to the next financial year when those claims came in so that we can pay them. Under program 5, is also underspent by around 8.6 million, which was mainly funds provided for the security system at Mbina, which could not get been spent. One must take into account that public works are involved in that process, and it's a huge project. A lot of items that have to take place there, and therefore spending could take place in that specific financial year. Under the direct charges, perhaps just also to explain, you'll see that actually expenditure is approximately 69 million below the allocation. It's basically a question in the sense that one would assume that each levy that we receive, we just transfer that to the set on the MSF. However, on the basis of the process, SARS provided the department with a specific schedule of levies received, so that the department knows exactly to whom those levies must go, which CSR and MSF. And in this case, there were 69 million rand of levies received from SARS, which were at that point in time not identifiable by SARS. So we could not pay those levies over yet to different CSRs or the MSF. We had to wait for a director from SARS before we could do that. And therefore, the expenditure shows that 69 million remains in our account. Those monies were transferred in April of the next financial year. So if we can go to the next slide, I'm not going to deliberate long on that one. Those were the matters of underspending that I already referred to. The next slide is just the trends in economic classification. And perhaps just to flag that under transfer payments, you'll see that there is the under expenditure, it only shows 99.5%. The underspending there is exactly the skills levy portion, which lies under transfers. And then at the bottom under machinery equipment, that is the capital portion for the Indian security system, which is the main item where the underspending there specifically. go to the next slide. Just a summary for that financial year, what the status has been for the NSF and some of the other public entities and our universities and district colleges. The NSF for 11-12 received an unqualified audit opinion. Of the 23 universities, 22 were unqualified and one university received the qualification. In terms of the FET colleges, there were 28 FET colleges that received unqualified audit opinions. There were 6 with qualified audit opinions, 1 with a disclaimer, and 15 of the colleges did not submit final audited financial information. And all those have been followed up in the meantime and sorted out that they were late in terms of the reporting requirements. From the CETA for that financial year, 16 received unqualified audit opinions, there were 4 qualified opinions and 1 disclaimer. Our other public entity, NSFUS, CHE, SACWA and QCDO, all received unqualified audit opinions for that specific financial year. With reference to the department, slide number 43, the department also received an unqualified audit opinion. However, the IG did raise certain matters. And in summary, just to indicate, there are some what I refer to as significant uncertainties. And this is something that we do not really have any control over. It relates to the specific lawsuit that the department is involved in. And although we oppose those claims, the ultimate outcome is uncertain, and therefore the IG just raised that as an uncertainty. We also had to restate some of our corresponding information for 2010-11. That resulted in a change in the classification of certain expenditure. So the IG just raised the matter for the reader to understand why there's a change. And then in terms of performance information, perhaps just to emphasize that although the IG since 2010-11 do actually audit the performance information, they still do not issue a specific opinion on those, but do however inform the department. And for 11-12, they did indicate specifically after the audit that there are major variances that are not in all cases supported by sufficient appropriate evidence. This matter is receiving attention in our strategic planning unit, and there is a huge improvement today. So last slide there, in terms of action plans, as required, we do have an action plan to address the matters raised by the IG. We are in continuous discussion with the Auditor General's office. We have steering committee meetings almost every Friday, and we try to address all the matters raised by the IG. We also report that progress to our audit committee and to our senior management. Thank you, Chief. That's all from my side.
Thank you, CTF, for the presentation. Now it's the time for me to interact with the community. Thank you, Chairperson. Our deputy manager. My first question will be in line with the recognition of prior learning. But we seem to be moving very slow in enforcing, either enforcing or ensuring that it is done. I have an example, for instance, of a young boy in Mutu who has invented out of the blue and established a community radio. He did, created a radio and did all those lines to have a community radio throughout him. When there was intervention from one company of taking him to the FET or whatever school,
to save in terms of writing theory, but in practice he's done all those things as he's doing, but he's failing in terms of the paper because of kind of assessment that he's doing. So I think we need to, I don't know how, there has to be measures of ensuring that in the institutions where we need, because this boy has a mind as we speak, but in terms of putting it in theory, he does not have that. He knows what, how to do it, but not to transfer that into form. My second thing will be on the, we have three universities that you've placed under administration. What I want to ask is, what are the lessons that we are learning from this? And has there been any transfer of skills from the administrator to the management? Third one is on the passage on the FET. There has been a cry from the lecturers from the FET that due to the problem of capacity curriculum transition, then it translates itself to the learners failing their academics. How far have we put measures in ensuring that intensive training is done? And also, there were different commissions or committees that were established, looking at curriculum, looking to governance, all those things, and ensuring that curriculum is relevant to the labor market. How far has that been achieved? The other one is also on the skills and the QCTO. To say, what are the key skills that are coming out? We'll put IPAP, National Growth Plan, now NGP. What are the key skills that teachers are addressing? Because the advent or the establishment of the QCTO here bridged the gap between labor market and academics and activities here, so that there is still this competition. Is it because the QCTO is still a baby? It has not yet found roots into bridging this gap between the two or not. On the understanding on the NSF, which may also link up to QCTO in future, to say the DG has qualified, has admitted that there's understanding everywhere, namely. But then it gives us a challenge to say, how far are we marketing the existence of the fund in addressing the key skills that the country needs? If we always understand, means we don't need this money, and at the same time, we are crying that South Africa does not have ABCC in terms of skills. On the 59 projects, just a round speaker, we also are not aware in terms of, are these projects addressing also the key skills that you are crying for? So that it should not just be a question of there's a project and we just make it, approve it for the sake of funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My first question is not directly linked to the report, but it is information which we as members of the Select Committee need. In one of the colleges, Northern Colleges here in the Western Cape, I was given the information that you must pass all your modules. Now, one of the students failed one. I think that is in the N3 year. Now, he has to come to repeat that one, so he can carry on in this year with an N4. He must first complete that one. Now, is there inside the Department of FET College system the situation that you fail one and you can carry on in the next year with the next semester, and then repeat the one that module in the same year. Can just have an answer on that one. I'm not so sure if the question is clear. It's clear, right? Thank you very much. Now, Honorable Chairperson, I picked up that there is a problem in connection with the fair cell system at college. Now, my question here is, how far is the department with to address this challenge in the college? Especially in Mpumalanga, I think that one out. The progress on that. And the other one is in connection with the understanding of skills in the skills development program 5. Now, the department identified that one of their goals will be to improve the skills development among students so that we can actually address the problem outside in the private sector and also in the public sector in that situation. Now there is an understanding. Can you just explain to us how will we eventually get to the point that we can address that problem of challenge? And I picked up that the understanding was 6.9%. And then in the same breath, I want to find out the department identify a few, or let me just say, scarce skills. We want to address the scarce skill situation in the country. Now, do you have a report about how far did you perform in that situation to address the scarcity situation in the town? I understand the department, this is the third year, the beginning of the third year. Alright? Only 2 years, but this is the beginning of the third year. But there must be some report that say, for the argument's sake, there is 100 scarcity. We are now currently at the basis of addressing 40% or 20% of that target. Okay. The other one, Honourable Chairperson, is in connection with the court case. On court cases which you identified, there's still a few which is in the process of solving it. Can you tell us how far the progress is on those outstanding or currently busy in addressing the situation of those court cases? Then the theft of cable of telecom. Now, when I am outside my office, I make use of the 3G, so I don't need telecom. And I understand also it is very expensive for the department to give to everybody in the department that 3G, so that they can access an email without the telecom system. What is the situation in getting into that position to curb the problem of the cable there? Okay. I think that one is actually, maybe I'm not stupid, but naughty to put that question. Yes. Then, Honorable Chairperson, the last one, I think I will make use of the second one. The last one of my questions is in connection with the machinery and equipment, the 27.9% not spent. Now, my understanding is that this department needs equipment and machinery, especially in the technical colleges. We need those machines. and the IT and so on. Now, if there's an underspending of 27.9%, my understanding is now that in certain colleges, they don't have the necessary equipment to do the education part and to carry it over to the students so that they can be equipped outside when they finish with their studies to use those skills in the different sectors outside the college. Thank you.
Especially in the issue of what's in the I am from so I'm a little bit concerned when it comes to issues in the city. So I would like the department to just give us a little report around what we saw. But when we are confronted by these questions as public representatives, we know how to respond to this issue. And also winning program of skills development program 5. There are challenges that are being mentioned and targets that are being achieved, but we are not told how many targets you have before you achieve the other. Maybe I might have missed the point, but I think if somebody can help me, what were your initial targets? And then you achieve this 42,000 what you partially achieve, they did not achieve. Also, Chairperson, in our colleges where the FBC colleges where we come from, we are having problems of those students who have passed grade 12, who are put in program with students that have grade 9, grade 10. And those students, they are not going to, especially because we are having problems of students who don't want to go to FEC colleges, who want to go to university. They see FEC college. If they pass grade 12, they see FEC college as a place where it's taking them back to grade 9, 10, 11. What is the department's plan to maybe have a program that will upgrade them so that they can be able to get to, if their qualifications are not for university, what is the plan for the department to have them upgraded to the to qualify to the
stream. Thank you, Honourable Manager. I don't know what you're saying here. They're still putting it down. And I thought maybe they're not well feeling well. Let me just take this opportunity to welcome the Honourable also. Let me just take this opportunity maybe to emphasize the issue that Honourable Manager raised around reporting the minister. We expect as the NCP that, and it's something that we've been talking about, that the report that is presented to us as a state committee can't be the same as the one that we present for additional because that is at the national level. Here we want to see a situation where you the middle, like for example you have your work with the conduct so that we are a permanent delegate, we are representing the province. You should be in a position to know exactly what's happening in your province. I think I should emphasize that this is the type of response that really asks us as the SDOG. I think I just want to check under program vocational and training where the report, according to the report, that indicates that 28 illegal colleges have been identified. We are aware that this is a challenge. This is what is happening really. But I don't see a report where it indicates what are the measures. You know, we know that this program that is happening. How does the department intend to address those challenges? It's good that you identify them, but how do you know what are your plans to do with that? Also around the issue of student housing, I'm just going to request that the department give us a script. What is your implementation plan? What is the implementation plan emanating from that internal program review report? You must just say, how far are you? Is there anything that is taken around the issue of housing, student housing? the issue of the design, of course, I'm more interested how that they contribute in the overall functioning of the department.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, the issue that I raised, I see substantial, and I will give that they are relating to the present rather than the past, you know, in the name. But we will try to stick to the latter of the reporting, which is 2011, 2012
financial year. Before that, let me clarify that what we are dealing with the annual report of 2011, 2012. Later, there's the time when we deal with the current, you know, 2012, 2013. Can we skip to the annual report?
Clarify. RPL, I think the challenge at the present moment is that RPL is attended to on an ad hoc basis and is left to the devices of various institutions and the, including private sector institutions. Now, we are actually seeking to respond quite comprehensively with a view of institutionalizing RPL as a standard practice for the country with a view of ensuring that we make an impact on this area. So one of the things is a task team that has been set up to look at how we could be institutionalizing RPL for the country. And also the other component to it was the gazetting of National Adult Senior Certificate, which is looking at assessing, you know, adults, not on the basis of the strict standard format of schooling, but you have to acknowledge that an adult at the age of 40, his or her cognitive development is completely different from a 15-year-old. So there are quite a number of things that we are doing to know about it. But the example that we are making is quite interesting. You know, I was not aware that in movies and how deep. But it's an interesting example that we need to follow up. I think there are a lot of things that we can learn because at the same time we are reviewing the program offering at FET College, both from NCV as well as NATED courses and other programs. I think this is one of the lessons that is important to take. The university is under administration. I suppose they are talking about TUT, UNIZULU and the Walter Sisulu University. And on TUT now, I've got a vice chancellor and staffing at the executive level as well as a council in place which is governing the institution. I must say, the institution has stabilized. This year, everything that relates to administration and management has went quite very smooth in terms of registration and other related matters. And they are also dealing with the challenges that are a legacy of the poor government and management that led to the administration that are being put in, which is quite UNIZULU. UNIZULU has stabilized. The Honorable Member will recall that is one of the institutions that in each and every year it would have problems around registration of students among other things. The institution has stabilized a lot, both in terms of governance, management, as well as the reconfiguration of the academic architecture of the institution. I think there are about three forensic investigations that were conducted in the institution, and out of which a number of wrongdoings by both former council members as well as staff in the university, and in some instances students and former students. And the administrator has dealt with that. To date, I think 27 staff members have been expelled from the institution. Now, the administrator is in the process of establishing the new council. That has been approved, and quite soon the council is in place. And the senior executive post have actually been fit in the institution. What are the source quite clear? The institution hasn't been able to pay even salaries of its own staff. So if I think the administrator has already been there, that has been actually stabilized and is consolidating on daily basis. And this year also they've managed the question of the registration quite very well. And there are also forensic investigations that are unfolding there. And some other people who are indicated have already jumped ship. So the administrator is still working quite very hard into consolidating and also ensuring that program offering is improved in the institution amongst other groups. Next part, understanding.
NSF.
Now this apparently was due to the legal issue that has prompted us to actually look at both government and skills provision landscape in the system. That resulted into the launch of the new National Skills Development Strategy 3, which reconfigured the training landscape in the country, whereby the program of teachers will focus now into training as technical, as technological, as well as artisanal skills, which is intermediate skills that are offered only in equity colleges and universities of technology in the world, throughout the country. Now, after that, we've seen tremendous improvement in the spending. As we talk, we're in short of funds. We are in short of funds. There are no more funds in there. But we're talking about 2011, 2012. Now the situation has improved tremendously. On the Farsal, I think the Farsal is relating to remunerating staff at college, and that is still under the auspices of problems. I don't know what the problem is, you can follow up and try to find out, but it's not an area which is administered or managed by us as a department, because the question of staffing is still with the provincial department in terms of funding, but the treasury as well as the management. That is going to come over us over time, and we update the select committee when that function falls in us quite some time. What we are going to do is going to follow up with the respective provinces around this anomaly. Of course, that's what we normally do. The students in Tuba, I'm not taking all the questions, my colleagues will come in. We are working closely with the Department of Health Provision. It's a program which is coordinated through health departments in provinces in identifying students who should be attending, of which, according to the guidelines, it should be students from poor families who are afforded this opportunity. And there is an allocation of money from the baseline in the budget, in the Department of Health as well as all provinces. I think all provinces are participating except the same case on this one of sending students to school. When the thing happened, I think the minister came out and issued a statement which was actually condemning the act because it's not out of insufficiency of the support and the resources that are at the disposal of the students in there. In actual fact, the money they are getting is even more than what the lecturer earns. So it's one of those things that we actually pass. We are attending to this one ourselves as well as the Department of Health in collaborating with the program. The new offices, can't we rent? We are renting currently. We have got very bad experience out of renting. Well, it's not an option that we are completely closed, you know, to it. We are exploring them well. But in looking at the cost, it normally comes out quite very expensive to rent and acquire a building which is already in existence. And it's a huge responsibility in regard to maintenance, you know, etc. But it's a matter that we can avoid. The students at Fortis, students are striking because of certain renovations that were done there in hostels, of which the aim was that after the renovation, the fee, accommodation fee, increased to about 90%. That's the issue. So we've engaged with the institution, and the matter is attended to. We requested the institution to conduct a forensic investigation on the matter and provide us with a report. But the students have since come back to classes with certain undertakings in attending to the matter that has been done. The breakdown presentation of the problem. I think we need to make an attempt to address this question. I think what informs reporting, annual report, is a plan that has been taken to Parliament and approved by Parliament. Then the reporting then is not necessarily their fault, but their predetermined objective that was taken to Parliament. So there is that trick that perhaps we need to take into consideration, but to the best of our ability, we'll actually try to come closer into specific provincial matters at the rate. On student housing, I think CP falls under the infrastructure allocation, which is quite substantial to institutions, especially the historical institutions. And also, we are engaging with the CIC and DBSK for an arrangement to release funds for infrastructure development in the city, of which they have agreed. Now, these are the matters they left with individual institutions, but we are overseeing everything which is taking place from the standpoint of the department. Yeah. I think my colleagues will pick up on some of the issues that I may not have covered, and not leave, you know, in other later. Chief, you wanted to pick up on Gaskill?
Mainly on the, although you have covered all of them, just on the governance. On what lessons they learned and any transfer of skills. Yes, we on all the institutions that have had administration, they had an analysis done by a researcher, in fact both at HISTA Higher Education South Africa and by the Council on Higher Education. And of course those reports also come to the department, so we've done our own analysis as well. And then from those analyses, we have looked at the trends and the patterns. And one of the things we've already started doing is the training of council members. We started with the ministerial appointees to councils, and we're following it up with the rest of the councils. And that is something that will be rolling out during the course of the year. And then on transfer of skills, but that's adding to what DJ has already responded to, on the transfer of skills, in a number of instances where there is management at the university, where the administration is replacing council, there is that overlap that takes place, that the administrator works with the management of the university, particularly the vice-chancellor, where vice-chancellor is present at the institution. So then that transfer of skills takes place in that regard. But also from the point of view of the department, we are developing a plan where we will do the phasing in and the phasing out. When the administrator leaves, with the phasing in of the management and the council, so that they don't just come in from the COVID, then so that they are supported by the department. And just to add again on the implementation plan on student housing, we had a very successful workshop with the institutions last year. This follows the report of the task team that was set by the minister. Had a workshop with the institution whose purpose also is to determine the minimum standards for housing at the institution. And of course, as DG said, the increase in the infrastructure funding of the institution, especially at the historically disadvantaged institution. Thank you very much.
Yes, no problem.
Yes. 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 The first one relates to the measures put in place to improve access. It may articulate the dimensions of the problem as follows. The first level is the understanding of the discipline in which the lecturer is teaching. And the second level of capacity has got to do with the pedagogical skills. And the third is the capacity to assess appropriately as stated in the assessment guidelines. Now, for all this, having recognized the difficulties with the levels of qualification of FET college lecturers, my colleague in the university's branch did indicate that a level of qualification has already been developed and is due for implementation, not 2014 or 2015. Now, given the fact that this is in the future, what then are we doing now? What we do is at the end of each and every year, we go through all the subjects and identify with the resources available those subjects in which the pass rate is low and conduct training accordingly in terms of the grasp of the discipline, in terms of the ability to deliver the subject matter and the ability to assess. And we have data on this. In fact, this is a problem. The number which the DDG indicated here, the 826 units, it relates to subjects such as welding, the IT, mathematics, teaching and training, and maths, particularly at level 3. Now, what we also did in the very same year is to go back to the quality of content in some of the subjects, and we subjected them individually to a review. And when you do the review, you have to do a balancing act between the demand on the industry and the ability to articulate our voice. Now, and therefore, informed by our consultation with the industry impacted by the change, together with the input we get from higher education in South Africa, and then we put in place a new curriculum, particularly in modality, which by 2011, it was implemented at level 3, and in 2012 it was implemented at level 4. Now, similarly, as I've indicated, we also deal with issues of methodology, and that is the methodology in delivery. As we indicated, I think subsequent to 2010, there were a number of task teams set up. One of them was set up to review the NCA. And that task team submitted a report, I think it was last year, but the ministry identified certain weaknesses in the report and asked the task team to go back and relook again with a view to establishing the value of the qualification, among other things, vis-a-vis other qualifications that are in the system. The issue relating to the one subject missing in the qualification, let me put it this way. In the register of programs, there are three qualifications which are offered by colleagues, excluding the occupational qualifications which are affected by the QCDO. That is, the 1-3, which is one qualification, and 10-4-6, which is one qualification, and the NCD-2-4, which is a compendium of qualifications, but that is three, but you can only articulate or progress once you're level 4. Now, if it is possible for you to move to N1, N2, N3 while you are getting subject, because these are part qualifications within one qualification. But you can't move from N3 into N4 because this qualification is incomplete. And that is the question on which then this student has got to do and complete the qualification before they take the qualification and move them to another. And in fact, if that was to be allowed, that would be tantamount to say, okay, you are missing two subjects in a matrix, which isn't actually part, but allow you to go into a university or a higher education program, and which may be taking things too far. Complete qualification, and then you can take another one. That is the issue regarding N4, this is the issue regarding M4 and N3. The last one has got to do with students who have passed the NSC, but when they arrive at the college door, they are expected to do NCD level 2, which is an equivalent of the grade 9, of the grade 10. At the point when the ministry recognized this as an injustice, right in 2010, the ministry, in order to enable the matriculants who might have not been taken by university, opened the N4 to N6 completely. There was no limitation. And therefore, it is our expectation that a student with matric can do N4, 5, and N6. But in instances where a college then registers the student in level 2 of the NCD, we have in the very same breath agreed that the fundamentals, which will be your math, your life orientation, and the language, which you have already passed in matric, should be credited for all the three qualifications so that the student can only do the whole vocational subject. Because in that instance, you can't receive something you never did. In other words, if you want to change course and get a vocational skill within the context of the MCV, you are credited provided you pass them at the level in which the qualification was. But our first approach is getting to N4 to N6, either engineering or business or business level. But if for some reason you want to go the SCV route, if you pass them at the same equal level of requirement, then you only the four vocational subjects you are going to get with the grade. Very simple.
Actually, they had to buy a bundle of 20 gigabytes, and it was not the usage of the entire, you know, capital investment. And I can tell you now that that was up within a week, and that is why we had to approach Peter to actually begin to address the issue holistically by way of implementing or installing the macro between Indela and the department. But over and above that, we have discussed the issue of dismantling the existing copper line of copper links between Indela and the we have now agreed that we are going to implement or install the fiber link between Indela and Indela. We will effectively reduce the risk of theft because it is typically used to be the fire link between CETA and CETA and Centura. So, if we go that route, it means, one, there will be a less risk of cable theft because of the fiber. Also, there will be an increase in the speed, high availability and performance. And the macro link will only kick in the event there is a downtime between hitting the fiber link that is going to be done. And that process is started, and very soon we will be having, you know, the switching of the existing fiber link and then switch over to the fiber link. That is it.
Okay,
slide.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So the breakdown of the training things that we show how much we've achieved, and what we've achieved, and what we've achieved. Thank you.
Rafia?
Just clarifying on the question around spending and the under expenditure on specific machinery and equipment. Perhaps just for the committee to clarify that those items on the budget are only departmental. Actual spending in FET colleges, site plus at FET colleges, and are funded through the conditional grant. So the money flows to the college pays for its own machinery and equipment. The savings specifically on the machinery and equipment is for the security system at Indela. That's departmental expenditure, it's not linked to FET colleges. And then I think the other aspect, and we can provide the committee with information on exactly the specific university, specific college per province in terms of the performance of the qualifications or not of the IG reports we will provide that to them.
Thank you.
Thanks, DJ. I wanted to go to the question of
new opportunities. I also want to say to the students, in the international, the China of the world won't have to actually look at the existing business in a different surrounding of the city in the China. And through that process, we could not find everything that is happening to the new. The public works department chapters to have also for other departments, you know, of government went out to have a respect everything they do, they were all side things. And it has proven that some of these old buildings, those old buildings that were rehabilitated, are actually tending to also be a problem everything. There are specific examples in that we have helped the public works department instead. Especially going out on a process of building a government, a complex of systems in Victoria to accommodate government departments. So there is indeed a need for a department to gain offices. There was also a question, on regional offices as to what contribution do they have in the overall functioning of the department. I do want to say that the move to have this regional office was informed, you know, by the strategy being as well as the operational needs of the department. As you would know, the department currently doesn't have anything at all currently. When the Department of Cut of Labor, some of the countries in France, there were some countries that were performed at a regional or regional level. That has since been transferred to the Department of Higher Education and Training. And currently we are offering those services directly from the state, which has proven not to be efficient and effective. We therefore, you know, need to have our services brought closer to where they are needed. But here also with the transfer of the functions now from, you know, of FST as well as other education training, there will be a need for the department to be much closer to the institution that we have to provide support to. It has already been proven that not only FST policies that we support from ACT, even at universities, we have for some time had to send people to go and assist or, you know, intervene in case when it is to be needed. So that is what we have informed the council of the office.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in regards to the court cases that were put up as contingent liability that may arise or may not arise, if we win the case, there may be a case one would cost. There were 8 cases. Willie Auditor General listed them. 5 were with the Department of Higher Education and Training, and 3 were with the NSF. The 3 of the NSF are still outstanding, and the 5 cases of the Department of Higher Education, 3 have been finalized and 2 cases are still pending.
Chairperson, not only a follow-up question, but I do have some other questions.
Yes.
Not so many.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In connection with the one or the Northlink College, if I do have the information that one or two students were actually given the opportunity to carry on for the N4 while they are in the same problem, that they need one to pass. What will actually happen, or what can we do to address that challenge? If I do have that information, because I will go back to the person who posed this question to, and I must. Then, Honourable Chairperson, in connection with the verification of qualification and also a report on the applicant's status of the criminal status of applicant. I picked up in the report that there were some problems around that. Actually, why did this happen? Because in the PFMA and also in connection with what is the other one, in connection with appointment of candidates, there's some criteria that the department must follow before going into the situation of interview. We in the Select Committee of NYDA we also have that problem, but we were actually delaying the process so that we can address that problem. Now, I picked up that there were some problems in the committee. Can you just explain to the committee why and what are you doing or what did you do to address the situation in this part? Then, Honourable Chairperson, in connection with the targets not achieved, I'm actually interested in the situation. Do the department have a report, a progress report, on each and every target not completed? The status, where it is, 100%, 90%, 60%, 30%, 20%. That's that report. And the last one, Honourable Chairperson, is in connection with the performance indicators not suitable to develop. That comes out of the AG's report. The AG is saying that the performance indicators are not suitable to develop, especially in connection with the target set by the strategic plan of the department. The strategic plan of the department. That comes out of the report of the AG. Now, why, when the AG comes to the department and picks that up, what was the problem that the Department of Higher Education don't address that development properly? And what is the current status of the problem identified by the agency? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
I want first to make a follow-up to the DG. Yeah. To say what we are requesting is to talk about. In terms of, for instance, you talk about the NSF project. You say 59 projects have been funded. The first project is in Kailisha. Second project is in Anduli. When you say the first project is in Kailisha, it addresses what you need. Second project is in Anduli, it addresses differently. It's possible. You may not mention it per province, but naming, so that you are able to go and do oversight over those projects that you say they are there, or any other things that you say you have done, as long as you know that in the college, Mulapo College, for instance, North Link, we know that it is in case Mulapo College is housing, but it is possible. We're not asking things that cannot. I'm not sure whether in the short time that I went out, the question on the QCTO in terms of the rationale to establishing it, bringing in all the parties, the business, the labor, the private sector, and all those things together, and academics together. The intention is to say what are the skills that are needed in a certain section, whatever. So I'm saying, as they are now continuing to, the continuation of the competition, in terms of we cannot take learners that are coming from this college or from this university. So this competition that the activity you are talking about, I'm saying, is it because the KCOC knew and the purpose and the rationale of it being established, they are not yet up to scratch in terms of understanding each other, hence the continuation of the competition. And the question of not maybe trusting the students that are coming from North Lane College or come from Mulapo College that are they're under standard. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm not sure whether it has not been responded to or what I raised was not clear so that one gets the response.
Thank you.
Lastly, there has been a challenge in this country for the dropout rate in the tertiary level. There are people that are making noise in terms of dropping off the standard. But before they could make noise, a thing has been done in terms of the dropout. The result that we always celebrate, they say it doesn't make any impact on the university. Because first year is going to drop off. So I just want to find out in terms of, are we making any inroads in terms of retaining or ensuring that they do continue with their 80 students, first year they continue, or still continuing? Thank you.
Thank you,
Honorable Minister.
Thank you,
Honorable
Minister. There was a question
around
the illegal community. What blame does the department have? I think it has not been responded to. This issue of the hotline, you know, I'm looking at the graphic where you indicate that 95% of the cases have been attended. You know why I'm asking them? There's this outcry that there's a presidential hotline and people will stay by the government. I think if we talk about 95%, you should be in the position to tell us, like, when the presidential life, when they give a report, they say, from this month to this month, this is our credit, number of credits that we have produced, and we have just so many. If you can just verify on that. I just want to check, it's a nice thing where we increase the oil management and all that, but everything comes with unintended consequences. What are the implications now? Because there's this issue of capacity, you know, the issue of network. How do we build that? What are the implications? Because the number is given. What are the implications?
Thank you, Chair. Another meeting to look at the presentation, but I just have one issue that is mostly covered from my constituents about the mechanisms that can be used to carry this illegal establishment of police. I'm not sure if that was asked from the office I did not get it. It's something that is very right. We've been talking about it for a long time, and we continue. Thank you, Chair.
I'm closing up.
How long are those agreements provided for? And which these agreements have been provided?
No. Yeah. On the progress in regard to the student house and the infrastructure, there are two things that are actually happening here. As you indicated, Chair, that the allocation from baseline as well as
complementing those resources because they are not enough, they are not sufficient. And what gets important, what is important out of this, from the standpoint of the department, is that in all infrastructure programs or projects in the institute, we actually want to see very often from now on. What then becomes important in that process is the planning, as well as if the infrastructure for program offering, what is the kind of the academic architecture, and what are the minimum requirements that are required. Now, in relation to student housing, it's an area that hasn't been regulated in the country, which has exposed students to a prototype of specific in some institutions. So the chance we took was that, let us register at least the minimum standard that each and every provider, either a rental facility or an accommodation which is owned by an institution, is able to meet certain standards. We have to do that. Now, the institutions are rolling out the actual air construction is taking place in a number of institutions. Yeah, with the support that we are giving in liberating those funds from other sources of funding, as I indicated, the IC as well as PDC. It's a matter then that every institution takes on its own strength, because depending on the balance sheet that an institution has, you find that some institutions, they get better rates from the main bank than PIC or CBSA because of the reserves that they have accumulated over here. So it's a diverse approach in Africa. But construction is taking place in each and every institution in that regard. Now, AD, what they raise is the question of us looking at ensuring that the meeting of the development objective is an area now they are going to focus in it in terms of monitoring and understanding. They are not going to just look at the question of the budgetary expenditure. It's a new practice and approach they are introducing to government, you know, across basically. Now, what we have been doing in the department is work into ensuring that we are able to align the budgetary expenditure with the achievement of the predetermined objective, an area which previously was not looked at by the AG, but what they are introducing at the present moment. We're just looking at whether the expenditure was regular, irregular, whether there was kind of for what review, wasteful expenditure, or anything of that line. But now, there is a new approach in addition to those of which we are welcoming and we're working on. On the dropout rate, there are measures that we're putting in place to support students at an institutional level. One is a mentoring system whereby senior students would render in services of mentoring the new students, the junior students, as well as on top of that coaching. And we are partnering with various institutions and entities that are having capacity and that have been doing this in ensuring that we provide it to all institutions. So that question of the support services and their dimensions thereof to students, new and old in this institution. So we're working on that. Enrollment increase. Indeed, this is a challenge for government because it has got a number of implications. As enrollment increases,
infrastructure provision has expanded, both in terms of program offerings for lecturing facilities as well as student accommodation. NEFA is an immediate challenge. We are having the support that we are addressing currently. So I think it's around 145 million. But we are looking as to how are we going to mitigate the budget. It has got huge implications for government, but we are attending to that. But the point is, we can't not increase enrollment. That's the issue. We have to then attend to the consequences of that decision and keep implementation thereof. We are responding and monitoring quite appropriately. My colleague will briefly take up, you know, some of the questions. The illegal quality. No, this matter, we, in the main, in Gauteng. Yeah. It's a criminal offense to operate an illegal college or to offer illegal programs. So what we are doing, we are concentrating society about this. What we need to look at, how to identify an illegal college, the hotline of the department, that we need to conduct, just to verify when that to a college, what are the basic things that you need to do, and if you are not sure, these are the phone numbers that you need to do. Over and above that, we are working with research to monitor the situation and to process it in the country, in that regard, amongst other things. Yeah. Is there anything I may have left? Yeah, my colleague. I'm not playing this time back.
I think the best resolution of the case is that we can just get the information so that we are able to approach this problem as a systemic issue and also an institutional issue or individual issue. If you the honorable leaders has got the information, we appreciate that information is made available to us so that we can deal with this specific case or specific case.
Thank you.
So we're looking forward to the next meeting.
Did you say you were in trouble with the portfolio program? Because you prioritize it.
That meant you go there, next time you come to us. Yeah. See, now we don't want you every day. What do we call you?
Especially since we're moving more far apart with that. When SPTX coming to national, in fact, we will have to play more concerts.
And have to say,
I'm going to go to the hospital.